Psalm chapter 12, it's Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no wickedness in him." Life has seasons. We have been looking at this seasons of life lesson, and this is week number 4. And we've been comparing this, looking at this, knowing that when we say life has seasons, it means that there is nothing constant in life except for God. Everything changes eventually. No matter how hard we fight it, no matter how hard we think we can make it do something different, in the seasons of life, as we move from season to season to season, everything is constantly changing. And the funny thing is, even when we get back to the season that we started out at, it still doesn't look the same. Change is one of those things that we can't control. And I think God designed it this way because life is supposed to have seasons. Our spiritual life is no different. In the last little short, these little seasons, we see that in our spiritual life, things change there too. As I move from season to season in my spiritual life, that too changes. I am not the same person that I was 10 years, even 6 years ago, which is the first time I stepped in this building. I'm not the same person that I was 2 years ago or 1 year ago. And in some respects, I'm not even the same person I was 3 months ago. It's seasons. And for our little analogy, we've been looking at the tree. Now, trees are important to our area, especially right now, because they're an economic boon for this area, because these leaves soon will start turning, and the tourists will start coming through, heading for the mountains to look at them. And of course, those tourists have to have some place to stay, and they have to have somewhere to eat, and they have to have gas to drive their cars. So the trees are important in this time of season for us because they're just an economic thing that we do in Virginia because of we've got the pretty trees. But as we've been looking at this tree, we know that this isn't how they always looked. In winter, when the days were cold and the water was scarce, the tree was focused on its roots. And as we, the people, looked at the tree, it was barren and desolate and brown, and the only way we would describe it was dead. But it wasn't really dead. It was just focusing on the things that we couldn't see. It was focusing on that root system running beneath the ground that would give it stability. As our season changed from winter into spring. By the way, do you know why they call it spring? I did learn this week. They call it spring because the leaves spring up out of the tree. It's all about the leaves on the tree. And when spring comes and the water is plentiful and it's just falling, and then we get renewal and we get reproduction and we get little trees and we get little buds and we get leaves, and we begin to see that new life coming from that barren, desolate tree. Then we get to summer, and I do not want to do what frozen things do in summer. I do not wish to melt, okay? But I do understand that summer is all about the heat, and summer is all about the hot. And the tree understands heat and hot, and the water gets less frequent as we head into those dry days. And so it takes those leaves that it grew during summer, and it stretches it out on its branches, and it curls those leaves up for it to receive the blessings that are coming in. And that's three seasons down. And we got one more season to go. The good news is we only have one more part of the tree to go also. But in order to get us into the mood, into our fall season readiness, I thought in honor of trying to tie everything together that we've been doing, we could get a little help from an old friend that helped us out earlier this year.
Oh, God. Hello, Christopher Robin. I can't seem to remember the... I can't remember the...
He got all excited because it's autumn, and in true Pooh fashion, what is autumn? It's toasty marshmallows and hottie chocolate. And of course, the hottie chocolate, to make it work, has to have honey. But how did he know it was autumn? There were those leaves. Now, again, he kind of got that moment in the first day of autumn. His leaves turned immediately, and if we look out right now, we're thinking, it doesn't look like autumn. Give it just a few weeks. It isn't going to take long. See, because the season of autumn in our particular area, it means two things. It's all about rain, and it's all about leaves. So I did not manage to actually put this out on the very first day of autumn, but I did actually manage to get there on the actual first Sunday in autumn. But we will talk about these rain and leaves in a moment. Let's talk about the season itself. It is a season of what we called earlier, it's the season of harvest. It's the season when we're snatching the last pieces of fruit. It's the season when that last little harvest comes in, and we know what season is coming next. And so just kind of, even though today we have grocery stores and we can go to the grocery store on a regular basis, it's a known fact that when you start to hit autumn, the grocery bill starting getting bigger because we start thinking about storing up. We start thinking about, well, eventually it's going to be winter, and you know, even though winter might be a ways away, our mindset goes all the way back to we start thinking about putting it away for a snowy day, for when those seasons get rough. And so this is the season of harvest. Many people call it the season of plenty. What is the big famous fall holiday? Please don't say Halloween. It's Thanksgiving. I kind of prompted you there. It's that day when we're going to get together and we're going to eat way too much food than we probably should eat in one day. It's that day when we gather together with family and friends and everything is around us. And that is what we kind of call fall. We have horns of plenty. We have pumpkin pie and turkey. And it just kind of looks at there's just so much out there that we can see. We're starting to see the blessings from God on the table. It's a season where we get shorter days and longer nights. The nights begin to get longer and the days begin to get shorter and it gets darker quicker and there's just not as much to do. It just seems like it's the time that things are winding down. Winter is harsh. Spring is exciting. Summer is hot. But autumn just seems to take a slow, steady pace. There's a lot going on, but we just don't feel urgency because we're too busy watching the changes around us. As I said, things, they're winding down. We're putting things in place. We're going to take in the lawn furniture that's sitting on the front porch. We're going to make sure that we get that one last grass cutting in so that we can actually rake the leaves. By the way, I have no trees in my yard that produce leaves on purpose because I'm not raking any leaves, but that's okay. But I can sit there and watch their beauty in the mountains from my front porch. But we're getting ready. Something is being pulled in. So what about the trees? How do they look? Well, they go from these big, lush, beautiful green leaves to those vibrant colors that we see. It's the reds and the oranges and the bright yellows and all of those colors that mix together that make those wonderful fall days. It's so pretty to look at. But you do understand something, don't you? Those leaves are pretty, but they're dying. Those leaves are beautiful, but they're dying. And we might ask, why are the leaves dying? Well, it's really simple. Because the tree is a smart tree. The tree is sealing up its branches, preparing for winter. The tree that was beautiful and lush and had all those gorgeous green leaves during the summer months, it now knows, I can't afford these leaves anymore. There's another season coming behind this one, and I can't sustain leaves. So it has to do the only thing it can, since it can no longer afford to support the leaves. It's going to shed them to the ground. Hence the reason we call this fall. Because all of those things that the tree had worked all year long to grow, all the fruit and all the leaves, in fall, guess what? It's got to give it all up. That doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, it had worked so hard to grow those leaves. It had worked so hard to grow that fruit. And now you're just asking it to drop it to the ground? Well, don't feel so sorry for those leaves. Because as they fall to the ground, they play an important role in the tree's survival. You see, we people, we don't like our yard to be cluttered with these leaves, although my kids like when we lived in Lake Monticello and we had lots of leaves, more than I ever wanted to see in my entire life. They like to rustle in them and then rake them up in piles and like Pooh was doing, jump in them. This is what they love to do. I don't get it because it just makes me ill, physically ill. I mean, I can't do the leaf thing. I've never been able to do the leaf thing, so I don't appreciate fall as much as some people. But I do understand what people do with leaves. But if you go out into the forest, into the woods, and you walk through there, you know what you're going to find? A thick blanket of these leaves laying on the ground. And the reason you see a thick blanket of these leaves is because as the rains begin to fall, begin to come down, and as they're going and going and going, and the tree is dropping its leaves, what it's doing is it's trapping the moisture to the ground. It is losing its leaves because it is protecting the most vital thing it has, its roots. It's trapping the moisture to the ground, and as those leaves begin to decay over the winter and over the early spring months, you know what now it's doing? It's feeding itself. The leaves are becoming the very food for the tree right around it. It's an amazing little thing to see. It is a wonderful design that God is giving us. But even though the leaves are dying, guess what? The tree is still growing. It's just changed its focus. It's moved from the roots to the new growth to the branches to now it's got something else it's got to look at, because the shedding of the leaves is not the death of the tree. It has not stopped growing. It's just focused on the trunk. It's focused on that big center part of the tree. It is focusing itself on the trunk of the tree. And ironically, our spiritual season of autumn is words that we don't want to think about. Inward focusedness. You see, the tree is smart. The tree understands something is about to change. Something is about to be different. So now it is going to be inward focused, and we don't want this to become the norm. I'm going to preach this sermon with a warning label. Inner focusedness is not what you want out of a Christian life forever. As a matter of fact, if you remember our lesson last week from outreach, we need to be outreach-based, because when we talked about summer, what is the tree's main job? Produce more trees. Matter of fact, that is its only job. We reap the benefit of the fruit, but really the fruit's job is to make its way to the ground, die, lose its seeds into the ground and produce a new tree. So that is the use for the tree. But there is this idea, this season, that, well, we all go through it, don't we? We all have those moments. It's those moments that the tree has been busy growing. Growing is hard work. It really is. So now, guess what? There has to be a season to replenish. There has to be a season. If all you ever do is put out, put out, put out, put out, put out, you know what eventually happens, don't you? You become empty. And so in our spiritual seasons of life, God has built in this season that he wants everything to kind of wind itself down and begin storing itself up. And it's important. But I want to give you a side note. This is a free sermon within a sermon. This tree's growth during all four seasons is all about the water. In the winter months, why did it focus on the roots? Because the water table was freezing and getting lower, and so the roots had to get deeper. In the spring season, what was the focus of the water? Well, the water was coming down in buckets from the sky, and so this tree said, I don't have to worry about the roots. I can focus on new life because there's plenty of stuff out there. In the summertime, it had to focus on its branches because guess what? The water came in short spurts, and it had to learn how to collect that water. And in the fall, now it's going to start looking at the water once again because guess what? Water is important. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 5 says, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest and the fair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant with your faithful love promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to all peoples, a ruler and a commander of peoples. Surely you will summon nations, and you know the nations, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because the Lord your God is the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Isaiah begins this thing that we're all big thirsty trees. We're looking for a water supply. And guess what? Ironically, what does Jesus call himself? Living water. That water that once it's inside of our life, we don't have to keep coming back and getting over and over. He calls it a wellspring that can come up inside of us. But I've just found it ironic that the tree is focused on water, and that's kind of where God wants our focus on Christ. Okay, that was a freebie. Had nothing to do with the actual point behind the sermon. I just found it an interesting fact that I wanted to give you. Let's talk about spiritual autumn. What is our spiritual autumn? It is the need to replenish. Now, again, we hear that and we start to get worried because we worry a lot about when we become inward focused. Because it's one of those things that once you start, it's hard to stop. But here's what I want you to know. God understands the need for replenishing. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 3 through 5. For 6 years, sow your fields. For 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the 7th year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your field. Do not prune your vineyards. Do not reap what is grown on itself or harvest the grapes of your unattended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. That sounds odd, doesn't it? I mean, property, it just kind of sits there, right? Why does it need to rest? Well, if you're a farmer, you understand it. You keep growing things on the land, and you keep growing, and you keep growing, and you keep growing, and you never give the dirt time to replenish. You strip the soil of everything that's there. Because what you do when you farm is you go out there and you harvest, and you take all the things that usually feeds the ground and pull it back up and plow it back under so that you can get it ready to go again. And God says, it doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, let me give you farmers a good thing. On the 7th year, take one of your fields. Make sure you have multiples. And on the 7th year, take one of those fields and just let them sit there. Don't do anything with it. As a matter of fact, if something grows, if a weed grows, just let it grow. And that sounds a little scary. But God understands it's designed that way. When God did the creation of the world, what did he do? He created for 6 days. And then he set a great example for us. What did he do on the 7th? He took a break. He rested. When he handed out the 10 commandments, what was the commandment that he put up? He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The Sabbath being the seventh. Remember the seventh day. Guys, give yourselves a point to drop your guard, put down your shield and sword, sit down, kick back, take a rest. In Solomon's statement, where we started off this series in Ecclesiastes, where there is a time and a season for everything, if you read through that, guess what you see? There's a season of pushing forward, and immediately following, what does he have? A season that you pull back. A season that you move forward, and a season that you pull back. And he keeps doing that because he understands you got to at some point have a season of autumn. Whether you like it or not, it has to happen that way. Jesus understood the need for rest. This is what it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he being Jesus, said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. And what did he say when he gets to the quiet place? And get some rest. It's a season that we have to go through if we're going to continue to grow. This is a huge mistake the churches make, and we think we're always supposed to be pushing forward. We're always supposed to be pushing forward. There is a season where we have to pull back, regroup, and put some thought to what we're doing. And that's what the tree's doing. The tree is pulling itself in, and it's going to be still. Now, I stink at this, just so you know. Psalm chapter 46:10 says, he says, be still. But while you're being still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. And I want you to see this, the first step, if we're going to have this season of autumn, this season of replenishing, we have to learn how to be still. And as we're beginning to be still, listen. Be still, this is, know that I am God. Listen for me. Look for me. Talk to me. Hear me. But this doesn't happen when I continue to be busy, and I think that's why we have a season of autumn. It's time for us to just be still. Change our focus to focusing directly on who God is. Now, it's really good that this is a spiritual thing. This is a physical thing, too. God understands that he put our little Holy Spirit in what Paul called us, pots of clay, jars of clay, things that break easily. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 30, we read, he gives strength to the weary, he increases the power of the weak, even youth grow up, either youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will not walk and not be faint. There is this season of autumn, this spiritual season of pulling back. My nose is starting to run. I'm sorry. I'm having one of those moments. I don't have a tissue. So we have this spiritual season of autumn. This is the leaves falling. They're starting to get to me already. So we have this spiritual season, and I began to think, my son, okay, he hates when he's the object lesson of something. My son likes to sleep. It hasn't always been this way. He was a go to bed as late as he possibly could, and then as soon as the sun popped his little head through the curtains, he was up. He was about. And he was like this for the first 13 years of his life. And we wondered if we would ever understand what a Saturday sleep-in was again. But something changed. And now on most days, either it takes an alarm clock or me going in there and saying, it's time to get up, usually more than once. Because he likes to sleep. And what changed? It's called this thing called puberty. It's that button and inside out where things get more complicated. And his body is growing and he's changing. And now his body understands, I need rest. I've got all this stuff to do when I'm growing. And now I just need to rest physically. And again, we have a hard time with this. physical rest. But something else is supposed to be happening as you're physically resting, as you're sealing up your branches, guess what else? You're supposed to replenish your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will." How many of you want to know God's will for your life? Man, I wish everybody's hand would go up. Do you see where Paul says it starts? Rest your mind. Renew your mind. Refocus your mind. Store it up into your mind because things are changing in your world. And when things are constantly changing, then your mind can get very cluttered. You can lack focus of thought. You can lack the ability to concentrate for very long. Interesting enough, that usually leads to you having a lack of prayer, a lack of dwelling on God's word. And so God builds into each and every one of our lives this idea of refocusing in spiritual autumn, and we also have to refocus our thought process according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So as you're pulling in, isn't just a matter of refocusing your mind? It's beginning to focus on the things that need to be focused on. Our mind and our world put so much at us. We are a 24/7 world. Well, most of us are. There's still a few that have hung on to the sanity, but most of us, we have smartphones and emails and telephones, and we're hooked in 24/7, and your mind never rests. Even when you go to bed at night, you spend like the first 30 to 40 minutes when you hit the hay to calm down and figure out, okay, what's on my tomorrow's agenda and what have I got? There is this idea that you've got to renew your mind. And once you renew your strength and you be still and then you begin to renew your mind, you have to refocus your thoughts. And then we have to go to Psalm chapter 51:10. Turn there with me, if you will. It's a very short verse. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit." Note the key to this verse. It's to renew your spirit. You've done the physical thing and you've done the mental thing, but there is this idea that I have to renew my spirit also. That thing inside of me, that drive inside of me, that thing that makes me different from everybody, from every other animal on the planet, because I am not an animal. That spiritual side of me, guess what? That needs some renewal too. Now, how do you renew your spirit? Well, he puts this word here called pure heart. David is saying, God, I want you to renew my spirit. You have to give me a pure heart. God, you have to help me purify it. And we know what it means to make something pure, don't we? It means you have to take out that which is contaminating it. And to take out that which is contaminating it, you have to do some things. Either you have to strain it, or you have to set it on fire so that it will boil it out. Okay? But it has to be refined. And what he's telling us here is we have to create in ourselves a pure heart, and that means this spiritual season of autumn, this is probably going to be a time that's going to involve some repentance. This is a time for self-examination. This is a time for you to look into your life and decide, God, where am I going next? That means that I'm going to have to take some time to really embrace who I am and where I'm at in my spiritual life. Like the tree shedding its leaves and dropping its dead branches, we need to shed our sin and the dead wood that we've collected throughout the year. Now, I'm going to give you the warning label again. It's only for a season. Don't let this become a lifestyle. You cannot live in autumn. Imagine what would happen to the tree if it said, you know what, it sealed its branches, it dropped its leaves, it's all good with this world, and it says, I kind of like this. Man, I'm getting the water and it's all coming in and I'm storing it up in my trunk because that's what the trunk is. It's this giant water container that we talked about last week to feed those branches. And man, I get to store up all my water. I don't have to worry about the messy leaves. I don't have to deal with those, with that fruit. My branches aren't so wet. I think I'll just stay like this. What's going to happen in the wintertime? It's probably not going to survive because the roots aren't going to be deep enough. What's going to happen in the spring? Well, there are going to be no baby trees because you didn't bother to worry about growing fruit. What's going to happen in the summer? You're going to die because the heat is going to basically burn your roots. Understand, you can't stay in autumn forever. But there has to be a season of it somewhere in your life. And I don't know how long that is for everybody else, but it's one of those things you just have to go through. A tree that remains in the season, it dies. That's all there is to it. So I'm telling you about this spiritual season of autumn, and I'm very worried about when you do this, because it can be very comforting to be there. But just remember the Bible warns us. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says, besides, they get into a habit of becoming idle, going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but they also become busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So this idea of autumn, if we stay in it too long, we become busybodies. We become inward focused. We forget about the world and we only worry about the trunk of the tree. And we can't live that way. We can't live that way because guess what is coming? Winter. We end up right back where we started a month ago. Winter is just the season. It's right when you see that season of autumn. It makes me a little bit scared. Because you know what I ask? Okay, God, what are you getting me ready for? What are you preparing me for? Why do I need a season of autumn? What is next? What are you getting ready to move in my life that I'm not ready for? Because winter's coming. That spiritual season of desperateness will be right behind it. So when God forces you into a season of autumn, don't fight it. Allow yourself to pull back, be still, focus on God, and know who He is. Replenish your strength, replenish your mind, replenish your spirit, and be ready for the next thing that God puts into your life. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what season you find yourself living in, because odds are we're not all living in the same season. Some of us right now are going through winter. Some of us are really struggling with autumn. Some of us are in the hot days of summer. Others of us, man, our life is bursting with blessings. I don't know where you are, but I want you to pay attention to the one little side note that I gave you. The water is present in all the seasons. You just have to be prepared to grow toward it. And for that, you're going to have to be willing to change, there's that word, your focus from season to season. Would you please stand? We're going to pray.